book of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. I'm glad that you're here this morning. You could have been anywhere. You could have not been here, but you are, so I'm thankful for that. And really, the title of the sermon was A Camel Ride for Christmas, but as I kind of contemplated that, even this morning riding over here, it's really about the King of Christmas. And so we'll speak about Jesus today and recognize how we should celebrate and understand those and that first Christmas really did as well. So let me read to you a familiar story out of the book of Matthew, chapter 2. It's about the wise men that were seeking Christ. So here's what it says, Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly great, with great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Father, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, for Christmas and what it means to us, the initiation of your redemption plan. Thank you, Lord, that we can celebrate today of Christ and what he has done, his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and Lord, even our eternal life that he gives to us because we believe in him. Lord, I pray today that as we look at this Christmas story, that we be reminded that we too should seek you at all times, that we too would be wise if we do the same. Help us now. Thank you, Lord, for your word that does not return void when it's read. Lord, make good on that right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I heard about a businessman. He had a long trip, and so he's trying to get back home for Christmas, and he gets to the airport, and there blaring was those Christmas carols. He was almost sick of that. Finally got up to the luggage counter, and there above with all the other kind of Christmas decorations, kind of tacky Christmas decorations, there was some mistletoe right there where the luggage check-in was. And he looked at that mistletoe, and he looked at the lady, and it was kind of halfway painted, and he said, you know, even if I was not married, I would not kiss you under that mistletoe. And she said, oh, sir, that's not for me. That's for people like you, so you can kiss your luggage goodbye. You know, sometimes at Christmas, we kind of get bent all out of shape. We have all these expectations. But what you believe about Christ means so much. And I found in life that many people, matter of fact, as many families are, there's all these different Christmas traditions, which is good. But all the same thing must be found in this one saying, that all through those Christmas traditions, we should seek Christ. It was the same when it was heralded to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 to go and seek Christ, and they did. It was the same when the star came for the wise men to go and seek Christ, and they did. And so this morning, as we look at Matthew chapter 2, I just want to pull a few things out and hopefully apply them to our life that we too would seek the one above. Notice the first thing, there's the wise men and their travels. The wise men and their travels. When you read verse 1 again, it says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so we need to recognize that these wise men, and a lot of things have been said about them. Notice we can talk about some different things. One, first, their designation. Their designation. Who are these guys? Well, if you look at their name, wise men, if you dig down in the Greek, it's a magos. It's the same word we would use for magic. And so when you kind of parlay that through the Bible, sometimes there are sorcerers and sometimes there's different things. But really this means here a possessor of special secret wisdom. In other words, there are astrologers looking for this one called Christ. And they've been studied and looked around and trying to figure out when Christ was coming. They had been influenced by some different scripture of the Old Testament. Now, we don't even know how many wise men there were. Some would say three because of the three gifts, but that's not true. We don't know. We say three kings because sometimes I think John Hopkins in 1857 wrote the song, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." But we really don't know much about these guys except that there's a reference that they were wise to seek the Lord above. We can talk about the different wise men in the Bible. Esther chapter 1, there were some wise men which knew the times. Jeremiah chapter 10, there was the wise men of the nations. Daniel chapter 2, which really kind of starts the story here, is the wise men of Babylon. Matter of fact, Daniel 2:48 speaks about Daniel himself being the wise man. And so we find that probably their influence came from reading the scriptures that Daniel had laid out. And so we don't know much about them. I just want to say that again. Again, not how many, we don't know the number, but we do know this, we do know their designation, the wise men designation. Now notice verse 1 again, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And so it was to seek this Messiah. If you go back to Numbers chapter 24, there's going to be a star that rises out of Jacob. There's going to be a scepter or a king that shall rise out of Israel. They had read these different things. Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says, "But thou Bethlehem of Ephratah, thou be little among the thousands, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have ever been from old, from everlasting." They recognized from the scriptures, probably because of Daniel teaching them this through the generations, that these wise men were looking for something. And that something caused them to travel a great distance. And again, we don't know how far, maybe 500 to 1,000 miles. We just do not know. We find that they're going to get there, and some things have changed from the birth narrative in Luke. They're no longer going to be in a manger, but now they're going to be in a house. The babe is not called a baby anymore, but now it's going to be called a child. Herod's going to try to kill this child from 2 years and younger, so it may have taken 2 years to travel this way. Someone we need to recognize that they had a desire to find Christ, and so should we. I wonder what kind of desire we have. I wonder what kind of drive we have to find this one called Christ. I like what somebody said. I think this relates to us many times. It's like this. A young man writing his best girl saying, "I would climb the highest mountains to find you. I would swim the deepest sea to be with you. I would cross the driest desert just to talk with you. P.S. I will see you Thursday if it does not rain." I like that. We say we have a desire. We say, but I wonder, would we be like the wise man traveling the distance and going for him? I began to ask myself, what would cause a person to leave family and friends, to leave worldly things unattended, to seek this one called Christ? They were not seeking a worldly power, but a heavenly hope. They knew there was a time to seek when it would be made known unto him. They were not, again, not for wealth or fame or power. They were looking for a different kind of king. S.M. Lockridge says this about this one king. He's the seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. That's true. He's the king of Israel, but he's also the king of righteousness, the king of the ages, the king of heaven, the king of glory, and is the king of kings and lord of lords. What is different about this one they're seeking, this different king? It is simply this. This one king alone gives hope. Nobody else can give this hope that this one can. Surely they may provide a little hope in other things, but there is one eternal hope that only Christ can give. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Oh, my friends, today we seek this one called Christ because he alone is our hope. I love that song that was written years ago. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." We know he is our hope. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, "By whom also we have access by faith in this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, "To whom God will be known is the riches of his glory, to the mystery of the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." I wonder today, what are you trying to find your hope in? Some try to find it in recreation. Some try to find it in religious experiences. I'm glad that you're here today, but just coming to church, you will not find hope. Some try to find it in worldly relationships. I love family. I love friends. But I'm telling you, that's not my hope. And they cannot give us hope. The wise men had a desire to seek one that would give them hope. Hopefully we do too. Have you taken the time to seek Christ in Christmas? Have you recognized Him that is the King of Kings? Have you experienced hope that He has to offer? If not, today, seek Him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you shall find me when you shall seek me and find me when you have searched me with all your heart." I could ask, what kind of distance would you travel to find the King of Kings? And let me respond, you don't have to travel far. He is here today. The Bible says He is the hope of glory, and we can find Him right here. The wise man surely traveled far and found what they were looking for. The wise men and their travels, but secondly now, the wise men and their troubles. You may get the impression that when you're seeking Christ, when you're seeking this one hope, that everything would go great, that everything would just get much easier, but we'll find that is not the case. Notice verse 2, saying, "Where is He that is born the King of the Jews? For we have seen," that's a past tense, "His star in the east, and are come to worship Him." Their first trouble, they lost sight of the star. They lost sight of the star. Now, let me remind you, this star was supernatural. If you look at the text there, it miraculously appeared in verse 2. It was there. They saw that. And then in verse 9, it moves. It goes before them. And then finally, I'm going to say it magnified the Christ. It stood there. Let me read verse 9. "When they had heard the king, they departed. Lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." I'm reminded of the days of Israel when they were in the wilderness, a fire by night and a cloud by day. The Shekinah glory of God moved, and so did this star. I've asked myself, and I'm probably you have too, that why, upon seeing the star, why did it disappear? What happened? Why? Well, there's several probable explanations. Maybe one to spur the wise men to continue by faith their journey to the wise men. I think that's good for us. Sometimes we can't see as we should. Sometimes we lose sight of the one, we think, and we just need to keep by faith moving on. Maybe also, so the wise men would visit Jerusalem, and in doing so, put Herod on notice that his days were numbered. For whatever reason, the star was hid from them. They lost sight, but God always works things out for good. I wonder today, have you kind of lost sight of what's important? Have you lost sight in what God's called you to do? Have you lost sight in the Christ of Christmas? Sometimes it's distraction. Sometimes it's loss of desires. Sometimes of worldly wisdom. Maybe you're struggling with your faith today. That's okay. Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord, and you'll find what you are looking for. Their second trouble, not only did they lose the sight of the star, but they landed in King Herod's court. Notice verse 3. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, they lost sight, so they had to find some guidance. By the way, somebody said those wise men traveling, maybe they brought their wives, because have you ever seen a man stop and ask a direction unless his wife told him to? Amen? However it is, they went and found this court of Herod. They came to Jerusalem. Probably the thought was, we'll head to Jerusalem, the city of David. You say, well, hang on. I thought Bethlehem was the city of David, and it was. Bethlehem was the birthplace of David. It was the tribe of Judah, that place. But David also conquered Jerusalem and made it his city as well. So maybe the wise men would visit Jerusalem and find the one that was in charge, because surely they had seen that thing too. They had seen that star. They are seeking the authorities. They had seen the light as they had. They ended up speaking with King Herod, but Herod was not a good man. He was not even a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was a ruthless man. If you heard me tell this before, that he had about 10 or 11 wives, depending on the historian you read behind. At times, he was just going to kind of go crazy. He had his favorite wife killed, had her father killed, had his brother killed, and on the day that he was thinking he was going to die because he was very sick, he said, "I want you to round up the 300 most important people in the city, so when I die, you put them to death so there'll be mourning in the city." This guy is not good. But for whatever the reason, they were led to this place. When they spoke these things, you'll notice, it says in verse 3, "He was troubled and all Jerusalem with him." So the question is, why would this young child trouble the king? Why would this young child bother Herod, who was in great power? And I think the answer is simple. Because Christ, the child, might interfere with his future ambitions. You want to know why the world is troubled today? You want to know why there's such an uproar about Christ? You want to know why the world is against Christmas in one sense? It's because Christ interferes with their worldly ambitions. That's why Walmart's had to take different Christmas ornaments out of their store. That's why these other national brands have said no to Christmas and yes to happy holidays. The further this child gets away from the cradle and gets closer to the cross, the more the world will hate him. And so we find that the world in Herod's day was troubled because of this one called Christ. The same it is today. So again, they ask, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Herod gathers the wise men, asks them where they should be, the religious leaders. They point him to Bethlehem, and he goes back and said, I too want to worship him. When you find him, bring me word back. And so probably the saddest part of this is when you read the religious leaders in Jerusalem, the place where God's temple resides, the saddest thought was this: those religious leaders that had the scriptures failed to seek him too. And let me just say that for us today. We're here today to honor God. We're here to honor Christ. And don't let that be said about you, that you fail to seek Christ, even having all the scripture that says he is Lord indeed. So let me ask you, having trouble living out your faith? Don't give up like the wise men. They stayed faithful, and so should we. Are there other people in your life that really don't worship like you do? It's okay. Worship the King. What trials are you willing to endure to be where the Lord wants you to be? It will be worth it one day for sure. Troubles will be there. It's okay. God will overcome. Notice the third thing. Not just the wise men of their travels and the wise men of their troubles, but now the wise men and their treasure. So they're going to find, as they leave, the star shines again. Verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11 says, when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so we find that star again, putting them where they need to be. They find that young child, and look what they do. They bow down and worship. They recognize who Christ is. And then they unload their treasures, their gifts. And so they have great symbolic meaning here. Notice one, the gift of gold signaling his sovereign dominion. Gold was the gift for kings. It showed his kingship. It was the most precious thing they had in those days. And when the Lord instructed to build the temple, he demanded gold to be on the Holy of Holies. The kings of the earth had stockpiled gold. It was a signal that this one would be king. The gift of gold signaled his sovereign dominion. The gift of frankincense shouted his sinless deity. Frankincense was a gum resin that they harvested. It was dried and ground into powder. It was used in many areas, but extremely costly. And it signified one thing in particular. It was signified this idea of worship. Matter of fact, when they began in Exodus chapter 30 to speak about how they should worship in the holy place, it was one of the ingredients used to burn before the Lord. It was used for only the priest to be able to do this. And we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 4, it says this about Christ. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our professions. And so this frankincense recognized, signified that he would be the priest, that his sinless deity would be before the Lord. The third gift was myrrh, and it signified his sacrificial death. Myrrh was a bitter ointment made from, again, the sap of trees. It had several uses. It was used to anoint the living as a medicinal remedy for ailments, but also used to anoint the bodies of the dead. In a sense, it was a bitter reminder of one who gave his life so that others could live and yet had to give his own life for us to live. It's a sense of reminder that Christ, who is life, died for us. And we are told to remember that. I wonder today, what gift have we brought before him? The greatest treasure they had was not what they brought, but will be what they returned with, and that was the presence of Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that day? The greatest gift they had was one in their heart when they honored the Lord above. Our greatest treasure will be what we take from this place this morning, a presence of the Holy Spirit. Well, let me move on. Here's the last thing I want you to see. not just the wise men and their travels and their troubles and their treasure, but the wise men and their trust. Man, what a great day it was as they worshiped this one called Christ. They gave their presents, they gave their gifts. As they lay down that night to sleep, notice what it says in verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. I want you to understand something happened to them. Notice, trusting the Lord stopped them from going where they'd been. I want you to understand that when you profess Christ, when you get into Christ's presence, something must stop, and that is the old way. Yes, they had found the child and worshiped him. Now they must depart back. And they probably remember the words in verse 8 that Herod said, when you go and find him, bring word back. Come back to me. I wonder how hard it was to obey God versus Herod. You say, well, why would they obey Herod? Well, let me remind you, to honor a king was to get great reward. There was the lure of wealth and honor, and to turn away with that was hard. You say, well, I would never do that. Well, I wonder today what we have sold ourselves for. I wonder what we have given up instead of honoring the king. The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove it as that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They had a choice, follow the king, Herod, or follow the King of Kings. I wonder today what we will choose, to go back to the old way or not. But it doesn't stop there. They had to trust the Lord to steer them in a new direction. And so we find them leaving, not going back, but going forward. The warning is clear for us today that we simply learn to follow the Spirit, learn to do His will, learn to do what is right. And let me just say this, once you've had an encounter with the Savior, you cannot keep doing the same old things. Once you have met Jesus, there must be a change in your life. I wonder today what we would choose. The proverb writer said this, ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. In other words, think about your life. Are you following Christ or not? Let me close with this. Maria Dye writes, one starlit night, one couple in distress, one shabby stable, only one place to rest. One group of shepherds, one night long ago, one angel's message, only one place to go. One journey for the wise men, one king did they seek. One son of David, only one child so meek. One reason for coming, one goal on earth's sod. One death that redeems us, only one way to God. Only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Those wise men sought him. The question is, will we? Will we seek the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? The King of Christmas. I'm going to ask you to bow your head just for a moment. Think about your life. I wonder today, is there truly a seeking of Christ? I want you to recognize that Christ has sought you first. That Christ has gone and done what He has done. He was born, lived, died, resurrected, and now sends the Spirit to draw people. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. I wonder today, have you ever had that feeling that you needed to seek Christ? Why not today? Everything's been prepared for this moment in the Word of God, that you may know Him, that small child on the cradle that made His way to the cross, that you may have redemption. If you're here today, why not trust in Him for the first time? Why not say, Lord Jesus, please save me. Forgive my sins and my iniquities. Be my Lord and Savior, and He surely will. Seek Him as the wise men did. Maybe you're here today, you've done that, but somehow in life you get distracted. Maybe like the wise man, when you've lost sight, instead of going to where you need to be, you've gone some other place. Why not turn back? Why not seek Him? Why not come to Him? He has open arms ready for you to do that. Maybe today it's church membership and God wants you in this place to serve Him. We'll take you just like you are. Maybe it's prayer at this altar. I'm telling you, God's calling. I wonder what we answer. Wise men truly still seek Him. Father, we love You. We thank You for all these things. Thank You for Your Word that brings hope and life. Thank You for the King of Kings that gives us a lively hope when we trust Him. Help that be today for all of us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.